Welcome to the Room for Recap, the heartbeat of the faith and family film industry. I'm Laura May, your host and industry insider from Christian Casting. I am thrilled to bring you the ultimate weekly experience that goes beyond the screen. This is not just a podcast. It's a movement, a community, and a celebration of the incredible stories shaping our faith-based film world. We are so excited you're here. Are you ready to jump in? Let's go. Hi, my name is Laura May, and I am the founder of Christian Casting and the Room 4 app. I am a wife, mom of nine, casting director, producer, actress, and writer from Southern Maryland.
Hello, my name is Xavier Garcia, writer-director based north of Boston, and excited to get into all things cinema and story.
Hi, I'm Drew Hunt. I'm a wife, a mom of four, an actor, a content creator, and I am so excited to be spending this time here with you.
Hey guys, I'm Keys, and I'm a mom to three amazing kids. I'm a writer, an actor, a radio host, and a Room 4 intern. I'm excited to be on this journey with you. I am all in.
So, what is the Room 4 recap? Here's what you'll find as you come along on this journey. We are your backstage pass to the latest in faith and family films with upcoming news, compelling interviews with industry leaders, exciting opportunities for exclusive giveaways, free festival passes to VIP access at industry events, and more. This isn't just news. It's an invitation to be a part of something extraordinary. We are not just observers here. We are participants in the Room 4 movement, and we want to invite you to join us.
All right. Welcome back, you guys. Super excited to be here. This week, Keys has some incredible new events to talk to you about. Drew's going to be telling us what's happening on socials. And Xavier, soon, your event's going to be happening. In fact, it'll probably have been passed, right?
Yeah, by the time this show launches. Yeah, by the time this show airs, the event will have passed.
But you were telling us this morning, you were telling the team that you literally have folks flying in from where?
Yeah, no, there's filmmakers coming in from all over. So there are filmmakers that were part of the project that are going to be flying back in that, you know, whether it's cast and crew. But then there's also other filmmakers that we've met along the way. There's a couple of gentlemen from Ireland that are going to be coming in. And, you know, we're talking not just about Good, the Examination of an Accused Witch, but they also have a project themselves that that is very close in storyline. And so there's a possibility of collaborating there. They've already filmed a feature film for their project, and they're trying to expand it. And it deals with very similar themes. And so they saw ours, and I saw their trailer, and we all got excited. And it was either I go to Ireland or they come to Boston. And I was like, I want to go to Ireland. So bad. But they're like, but you have an event coming up. Maybe we meet there. And so that's how that worked out.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome.
Okay. So y'all, fun show today. We're bringing some cool stuff to you. So Drew, start us on socials. I love when you guys chime in, and I love hearing from you. And Drew keeps such great tabs on that. So tell us what's been happening.
Yes, I know. I love it too. Okay. So let's see. We posted a story that was, I thought, pretty insightful about what happens after the audition. And it kind of gives you a breakdown of after you leave the room, if you're an actor, you do your thing and then you walk out. And here are the things that are happening after you leave the room. They're not just trash talking, you guys. No. So basically the gist of this message was, hey, if you don't book a role, this is not personal. I loved this article. I think it was from Backstage. I love it because it gives you such insight into how much attention to detail, how many layers are involved in making a selection for just one role. Like, it's so multifaceted. So we shared that to encourage you and to help you just take heart. If you're kind of in that space right now where you maybe haven't booked anything, and not just as an actor, you know, there are plenty of other roles in the film space besides just acting, right? If things aren't just quite coming together for you right now in your career path the way that you're hoping, it's not personal. It does not mean that you don't have value, you don't have gifting, you're not called here. It doesn't mean any of those things. It's just information telling you to keep taking the next step in the right direction and just keep putting in the work. keep taking heart in the process and knowing that you're going to get there. I feel like it points back to the episode that we've just done on excellence, just about don't hear that word no. If this is your heart, you feel like you've been called here, the word no means nothing. It's an invitation to keep moving forward. So anyway, great article. Go check that out. So, you know, we also love to do these questions every week to you guys. And I've got, pardon me while I pull out my soapbox real quick. The first question that I threw out to our beloved family, the Room for Fam, I asked you, tell me, okay, if failure is a teacher, we've been talking about failure a little bit lately. Failure is a teacher. What failure in your career are you the most thankful for? You guys, you said nothing. You crickets, you said nothing. And so I get it. I do get it.
Feel a little bitter, maybe?
No, not at all. I'm surprised because I know this community and I know you guys, again, you have a heart for what you do and I believe you understand that failure, I don't even like the word. It carries such a wrong connotation. Again, failure is simply information that I need to keep moving forward. You know, maybe I tweak this thing. Maybe I, you know, take this class over here that's being offered, but you keep showing up. And again, failure, it's not final. I feel like it's something, you know, we see from, printed on pillows from like Hobby Lobby now, you know, like failure's only final if you quit, but it's true, guys. It's absolutely true. And so anyway, I want to continue to encourage that failure is just, it's part of the process, whether it's in film or any other industry, but again, it's not personal. You got to keep moving forward. We need you. This industry needs you to keep moving forward. Okay.
Can I stir the pot for a second here?
Please. I love when you stir the pot. Absolutely. Stir away.
Because I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think, you know, as far as failure is concerned, and when you're told no, that's just an invitation to take another step forward, right? Absolutely. For those of you that are called, that you know for a fact, it's like, I know that I'm supposed to be in this. But what about those that are like, I like this. I don't know. When do they take the hint? When is enough failure? Like, you know, you're wasting time for where you're actually supposed to be. Or maybe it's a redirect. Maybe it's within the industry, but you're like, no, I'm going to be the next Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm going to be the next Meryl Streep. And it's like, yeah. you could be a great costume person.
Right.
You know? Like how do you tell someone, it's like, hey, maybe you're being given a message. Like, I don't know. That's
yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know that
I love that question.
Always works best when it comes from somebody else, but I do think that come from a humble spirit, there is wisdom in much counsel. And if you're hearing no, then I think that your natural next step ought to be go to the valued members of this community that you want to be a part of and humble yourself and say, I'm not finding much success in this position that I'm pursuing. Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. do you me moving forward and be grateful enough for the failure to say, what does this mean about how I live it in this?
It absolutely. Positive.
Not absolutely. Like you suck. Sorry if anybody doesn't like the word. Go home, do something different or pivot, you know, like I'm telling you what, I have been in this industry for almost a decade and I still would show up to a Garcia Brothers production. Even if I was just like, my job was to tie shoes. I would sit there at wardrobe and I would tie
the best shoe tire
just to be in that world, because I literally love this creative community so much.
Yep.
I'm telling you, 10 years in now, I'm part crazy, but that's okay because not everybody would do that. But like when you find your
track, you have to be a little crazy to be in this industry. Just a little
100%, 100%. It's a requirement.
Well, you do. And so I just want to live in this world, like every opportunity I get. So if you're like, I've tried to be an actor or I've tried to be a filmmaker, or I've tried this, y'all, there are so many positions still open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So I said, you're needed.
Yeah. That their favorite position is craft services.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hospitality. Yeah.
Nobody feeds those people on set like Crafty does. And they're their soul there while they're feeding their face. And it's such a needed, precious position that so many people are like, oh, I don't want to refill the granola bar tray. I don't want to plates. But y'all, that is such a beautiful gift. In fact, we there was a position in Texas for 2 weeks. Like, they literally needed somebody for craft services, but they said, hey, we're going to be picky on who this hospitality person is because this is an important role.
It matters.
You found some no's. Seek counsel, seek godly, wise, industry-wise counsel. Don't ask your grandma. Don't ask neighbor. Like, ask film folks that you respect. And say, where could I pivot? So that's my advice on that.
I'll say this, and ask yourself this question and be honest with yourself. Like, are you in love with the art that is in you, or are you in love with you in the art?
The idea of,
because there are people that are just in love with the idea of them being in the art.
That's so good. I think, like, when it comes, like, we're all given gifts. And again, I think you could very much be called here, you know, to this industry, and maybe, you know, the doorway that you entered, like, for me, I think, you know, the doorway is acting. I feel like there are going to be other things. So I'm trying to follow the breadcrumbs and, you know, look for where are you effective? Where are you seeing people responding to the work that you're doing? And I think a way to do that is, you know, Xavier and Laura, kind of like you've already said, you know, open your hands up to the many facets of this industry. If this is where you want to be, it ain't just all about acting. There are so many other parts of the industry, and start touching them and see, you know, again, what feels right and where do I have effectiveness? And so anyway, that's so good. Thank you for starting the pot.
Well, and there's being enamored with the industry is only going to take you so far.
Because the industry does not love you back.
No.
It's unrequited. It's unrequited love. It does not love you back. It wants to use you. It wants to abuse you. It does. Look, it really does. And so I'll say it again. It's like, are you in love with, like, the art that's in you, the talents, the gifts, everything that's, like, waiting to just burst out because it's been placed in there and it has a purpose and there's a reason you've been called in order to serve that purpose and reason? Or do you just want to see yourself surrounded by all of these other people that are following the purpose and the call, and you're just like, oh, they're so driven. Oh, wow, look at all that they're doing. Look at all these successes. Like, I want to be a part of that. And then you just throw yourself at this unrequited lover, and they're just gonna, you know, say no to you.
Well, I think people love to come to this industry and say, well, I feel like God wants me to XYZ. And then they feel like they don't need to put in the work. And it never ceases to astound me how many emails I get, how many messages on Facebook, how many, you know, people go, well, do I need headshots? Well, do I need to have a resume? Well, do I need? Yikes. And so if you showed up to a traveling soccer team without cleats and without,
probably not going to let you play.
No. And then, you know, and like, if somebody says, well, I'm called to be a brain surgeon, well, you better go to school, okay? Because you are not cutting my head open without a degree or two in brain surgery. And I just don't, I'm not sure where that in the creative arts, and it's in singing too. Oh, glory. It's in music as well. It's like, well, God called me to do this. I feel like, and it's usually, I feel like God is calling me to do this. And there's a major disconnect from reality, because in any other business, in any, and filmmaking is a business. Xavier and I could go on that. But in any other business, we would never show up unprepared and unequipped and say, well, you better make space for me because Jesus told me to be here. Like, people want to put on the track suit, but they don't want to run. You know, they don't want to practice. They don't want to, they're like, they just want the uniform. And it's like, no, I allude to Xavier's track history, you know, and go ahead.
Handsome, No, we just, we are, my high school had some pretty awesome speed suits. So, and I think there, and we had a big team. And I think people just wanted, I think people just wanted to be in like, in those, units, so.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
In your diet, you give things up in your time, you give things up to train, to prepare. And this industry is no different in that. If people could understand that one thing, in the faith film world, I wish that they could just grasp that, because I think it could change everything in our ever revealed spirit of excellence. I wish people could understand that when I come to the table, when I show up in the room, I want to be ready. I want to be equipped. I want to have the things that it takes, because I just look foolish if not. I don't, nobody's going to take me seriously. And maybe one day I'll get a half a chance and I can be involved in something, and that's fine. And sometimes that does happen. But if we're talking about an end goal, like this is what I'm called to do. And you may say, well, how do I know that I'm called? My opinion, one of them, one of the marking features of this is going to be because even though you try to do everything else, it never goes away. Like, because I can't do anything else. Like, it just keeps pulling me back. And I, that's when I think it's really a God deposited thing, because other people try it and they're like, this is for the birds. That's a lot of and then they see themselves out. And I, and that's a, that's the beautiful process. It's like, you show up, you're like, oh no, too much. See ya. I'll enjoy it from the other side. Right. Like Keith said on our last show, she's like, I love me some good television. I like, I love to watch. And I love to consume good media as well, but you know, to be on the other side of it takes a really big commitment. I don't know that many people starting out understand. I don't know.
It does. It has to be that extreme. It's like, it, you really, it almost is like, if I don't do it, I would die. Like, what else is there? What else?
I can't imagine doing anything else.
Like there's nothing else there. And that there's this constant burden within you. That's like, there's nothing else. This is what I must do. This is what I, I think that's a good barometer. I think that's a, the, I think that's a great litmus test. And then over the course of the time spent prayerfully walking this thing out, then that, you know, that, that gets kind of like fine tuned, right? Like that path gets very specific and it becomes very, you know, it's like, okay, where exactly within this world of creative expression am I supposed to be?
And again, I think you see opportunity and effectiveness start to present itself. Can I add one thing to that, that, that I have learned the hard way through my own journey here, is to never worship the gift more than the gift giver. So just throwing that out there, if that resonates with anybody.
I think that's what we talked about with excellence. Like, okay, keep it in your hand so that it's loose, right? Because it's It, you know, it's like, this is yours, you know, God, this, so it's like, take, you know, you give or take away.
That's right. That's right.
Question for everybody. I want to know, when did you first do what you love to do, what you aim to do, you know, what makes you come alive? When did you first do that? And, did God ever ask you to hand it back for a little while? Start, when I was 4 years old, I remember the music leader or the pastor, whoever it was, pulled up a folding chair behind the pulpit. And so I sang my first special church at 4 years old on a folding chair. And then, you know, shortly after, I was in the plays and things, and I was like, ah, this is what I do for my whole life. And twice now in my adult life, the Lord has said, can I have that back? And it was really, really, really hard the first time, but then he gave it back to me. And then it was even harder the second time. And I felt like he was saying to me, like, I already asked you to give it up for a season and I gave it back to you. Why wouldn't you trust me more this time? Why do you trust me less? I'm like, because I'm scared you won't give it back next time. And here I am. So clearly he did, but I want to hear your stories. When Keys, when did you first know that there was something creative in you that you just had to do? And did you ever get asked to give it?
Yeah, I was in fifth grade and we had to do a book report. Everybody gets up there, you know, and you have this paper that you wrote. You read a book and you stand in front of the class, all boring, and say, this is the book that I read and this is what it's about, like the summary or whatever. And the teacher's sitting in the back of the classroom just taking notes. And I didn't do that. when it was my turn, I got up there and I watched In Living Color all the time. Yes. And so I did an infomercial for my book. And
yes.
I said, hello, I am Akia, my real name. And I read this book and it's the best book ever. And here are some of our satisfied customers who also read the book. And I would turn around and I'd come back and, hey, my name is whatever. I'm a lawyer, teacher, doctor. And I read this book and it's the best book ever. Like, I was just like, you know, doing all these awesome characters that I saw on In Living Color. And my teacher's eyes were like, what is she doing?
Who is this child?
Laughing and loving it. And it was so much fun. And I was like, yes, that is it, right?
I hope that was an A++ right there.
That was awesome. But yeah, awesome. I mean, later on, obviously, getting married, having kids, getting divorced, I was not thinking about any of that. I was kind of like surviving in life. But recently I had just done up comedy and had to give that up because my heart wasn't right. I was a little self-righteous and I had to go through some things and identity and dealing with that with the Lord. And so now I'm kind of back in things because I have the right perspective. So
that's good.
I think you need to do one of these upcoming shows. I think you totally need to pull in one of those characters and just do
the entire time.
Yes.
The entire time.
Yeah.
That, that first one there, that one's the one. That's the one we want. What was her name? She was awesome.
Agreed. All right, Xavier, what about you?
I'll make it quick. I was actually writing. Gosh, I think I was writing when I was five. I grew up in Bayamon, Puerto Rico, in a not so great place, and writing was an escape from, you know, real violence and just poverty and all sorts of stuff. So I was writing since then. You know, like in early elementary when you're given the little blue book, or at least this was a thing back for me, and like the blue book is like, you know, you're supposed to write a little journal about what you did over the weekend. And, you know, and the teacher, you hand that in, the teacher reads it, and, you know, you're practicing your writing. I when I wrote my journal and I handed it to my teacher, like, she's like, so Xavier, so you flew to another planet, you saved. It's like, I'd be writing these epics and these stories. And it was never like, yeah, I played with my Legos. it was never that. You know, and so like, and did that. And then, you know, all through, I share the same exact experience as Keys. There was never a single project that wasn't either a film, or a theatrical performance. Mm-hmm. And I was the guy, like, you know, my brother has the same experience. Like, I was the guy where the kids would have their poster boards and they, you know, they pin up all of their, look, this is my science project, or this is my this. And, but for me, they'd have to go and find the one TV in the entire school. You know, they'd have to wheel it down the halls. They'd wheel it in because obviously it's these giant tube TVs that exist, and they'd wheel it into the room. It's like Xavier's got his presentation. They take out the VHS tape, and everybody was excited.
Yes.
And then as far as like when the losing or the God taking, I mean, like that's every day. I'm checked every single day. You know. I don't necessarily think that there's like a season. I guess maybe even through college, but. Where there was a season of giving that back, but I think it's every single day where I'm checked when it comes to that.
That's so good.
Drew, what about you?
I was in my first play at 3, and I remember hearing I was dancing. I didn't really have any lines. I don't think they would have trusted me with that probably at that point. But I remember hearing the audience laugh. And the just the reaction. And I feel like I just kind of like at 3, I remember the feeling and seeing the audience laugh. And I just kind of froze like, what was that? Oh, okay. Tell me more about this. And, you know, so I stuck with performing and all that. And I had my first lead in a play when I was in 3rd grade. And it was the same thing. It was kind of like a full circle moment of that audience reaction. And at that point, I kind of had a little bit of a cognizant understanding of career, sort of, oh, I, you know, there are people who do this. And it was, okay, this is all I ever want to do, ever. And, I was consumed with that for a long time and, you know, kind of came to the end of the high school, you know, scene. And it was like, okay, I really wanted to pursue acting at that time. I really wanted to go to Broadway, but I can't sing. So I was like, well, I guess, you know, maybe LA will take me. And so, but I panicked. I didn't do it then. And I think it was really more, I don't know that it was, I feel like I kind of set it down. I had this weird kind of back and forth with God about it. You know, do I do this? Do I not do this? I was conflicted. And what I know now is God is not a God of confusion. And I think that I wasn't leaning in enough to him at that point. So I set it down and I wrestled with that for the next two decades. Until, you know, I feel like I kind of had a undeniable moment with him last fall that I couldn't shake. Like you said, when you know that you're called to do this, you can't get away from it. So I walked around heart sick for years and years and years, just trying to fill it with anything else. And it wasn't working. And finally it was like, when are you finally going to do something about this? So I finally said, okay, I'm in with me and all my kids and momming and all that. I don't know how this is going to work, but I think this is what you made me to do. I'm ready to step into it. And buddy, you know, he started helping me make connections and putting people in front of me, just things I could have never imagined. And then it wasn't too long into that to where, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, I had that moment with, okay, don't start to put this ahead of me, you know? And there's been a little bit of a, okay, do you love this more than me type of moment that I've already had before the rocket has left the launch pad. He's like, let me just check you on this real quick. If I asked you to set this down as though I'm never going to give it back to you, are you going to be okay with that? And so Xavier, I think it's so much like you just said, I'm so glad you said that out loud because it kind of just clicked for me like, oh, so this is a daily thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a wrestling per se. It's just a daily, it's that dying to self every day because, you know, I love this industry and as hard as it is and what it does, I believe in it so much. I believe that, culture sits downstream from entertainment. And I believe that it has a very important place in culture. And I love what God is doing in it. And I want to be a part of it, but I want to be a part of it in the way that he's called me to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, being open-handed with whatever that means, I have a feeling the journey is going to wind up looking nothing like I expected, but I'm here for that. Yeah. I'm here for that. Because his story for us is so much better and bigger and more exciting and better tailored for us than anything that we could do ourselves. I've tried to do the last two decades with me holding the pen. And finally, I've reached that point where I'm like, all right, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Because turns out I'm not so great at writing the story myself. So, So anyway, yeah, it's been interesting, but he's faithful, man. It's very cool. An adventure. I think he wants to take us on an adventure. I think we're all invited to an adventure with him. If we'll just, you know, be willing to say yes, step out of that comfort zone, not fear failure so much.
And be willing to see it as that. I think there's a component of us that has to recognize, okay, this is a journey. It is an adventure. Mm-hmm. And so like the hill and the valley is part of the adventure.
And he's with you on both. Yep.
Throughout it all.
So good. Yeah. I love that question. Thanks, Laura.
I think a future show, maybe we need to talk about identity too, because I know one of the times that 100%. The Lord asked me to hand it back, there was a long season. And then I realized that I didn't know who I was anymore because I wasn't the one who's pursuing this. And that's when God revealed to me that I had put my whole identity in that. And that's a place to be. And that is, I think, what the church did in Revelation when he says, you've forgotten your first love. Like it, ministries are great, but, and you say you do them for me, but you've forgotten to love me. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely something, Xavier, I like that you say, you know, it's a daily thing. And for me, he's had years at a time where he said, I need you to trust me enough to lay this down. If you trusted me to give it to you, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, you know? And mm-hmm. the fact is, I was like, you know what, if this is all I ever got to do, thank you for the season that I had. Thank you for
that. That's right.
That's what I rediscovered. So Keys, maybe even you with, you know, stepping out of comedy for a little while, just rediscovering who you are in him first and who you're called to be. And I think that that's something we do need to check ourselves with often. And mm-hmm. Xavier is infamous for saying, and I'll paraphrase, but check yourself or God will. humble yourself right. or he will humble you. You know, mm-hmm. like I'll take the first, thank you, not the latter. Yeah. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left. So Keys, I'm going to throw it to you because you have some cool events to throw at us, giveaways. Yeah. So let's do that.
Yeah. Real quick, on May 16th through 18th, there is a Jamaica International Faith Film Festival in Kingston, Jamaica. And it's, oh, how fitting that I just did the accent.
Lord have mercy.
Okay. So they're going to have a red carpet. They're going to have screenings, performances, and awards. You got to get out there to Jamaica. Okay.
Near the beach.
So get out there for that Faith Film Festival. And then on May 18th in downtown Tucson, there's an International Film Festival and Screenwriting Competition presented by Faith in Film. Their aim is to help launch the careers of faith-based writers and filmmakers. So make sure you go to all these. You'll find them on filmfreeway.com. That's how you'll get tickets mm-hmm. to that. And then in theaters, May 21st and 22nd is Multiplied. It's a documentary about the current state of evangelism. So it's kind of cool. It was directed by Chris Worthington, and it's produced by Every Nation Will Bow and the For the One Studio. So you can look up these studios if you want to see other projects they're doing and get connected with them. And then in theaters on May 24th is Sight. It's based on a true story of Dr. Ming Wang, a Chinese immigrant who became a world-renowned eye surgeon in the U.S., directed by Andrew Hyatt, distributed by Angel Studios. And you can get free tickets because they have like a pay it forward system. If you can't afford to go to the movies yourself, no shame in that. You go to angel.com/free tickets and then you can get blessed with some free ones. But if you're already blessed, then you can, you know, pay it forward for somebody else. So, and our giveaway is for Christian Casting Mentorship, y'all, because we, ChristianCasting.com offers coaching and classes, but Laura May is blessing you, okay, with a $150 value monthly membership. It's just for 1 month, month-long membership that you can go one-on-one with her if you want to level up your game, you want to step up, you want to say, hey, look, this is what I got. What do I need to do to go to the next level in my career? She will meet with you on your schedule just to go over those things so that you can come out of that month mentorship better. So if you would like to enter that, you got to go to our giveaway post that's going to be on the Room 4 app and comment your favorite movie quote. Okay. Like, you can't handle the truth or something. Okay. Comment your favorite movie quote. Keep it clean, guys. You know, we're Christians. To get 4 entries into the giveaway, if you do that on our Room 4 app, otherwise you can go on Facebook and Instagram as usual and do it there and you get 1 entry. But it's better if you just go to the app, guys. Go to ChristianCasting.com to download the app. If you haven't yet, get on it. But remember to do that. Comment your favorite movie quote and you'll be entered to win.
And download on ChristianCasting.com if you need it for Apple or Android. You can find both the download links there. And I love that you switched it up because sometimes I think you'll say, hey, comment all in. And after like 5 people do it, then people don't have to listen to how to enter. They're like, oh, that must be the keyword. Yes. Okay, all in. So I love that you threw a curveball on this one, Keys, because Keys, oh, wait a second, what? What's going on? I missed the party.
Right. Yeah, that's brilliant. You got
attention.
I love it. Well, hey, that is our show for today. And we just want to say thank you for being here with us, for being a seeker of the word for being a seeker of your passions. We read the parable of the talents, and we know that the Lord honors those who invest what he has given them. And we also know that those who do not, it is taken from them and given to those who did. And so I think that by you being here, you are saying, I want to show up. I want to level up. I want to be excellent in this calling he has given me. So we love you guys. And as always, if you've got some feedback from the show, please drop it in the comments or hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what's resonating with you. Let us know what other topics you want to hear discussed, because we are here to serve you. And we just thank you for letting us be a part of your day. So on that note, anybody else have anything to share?
No.
Okay, listen. That's all. Okay, so Keys, you just have to exit this show in some kind of Jamaican beautiful moment, because I cannot get enough of it. I'm serious. However you want to end the show. Keys, I'm just throwing that at her, total improv. But listen, as a prior comedian and with a rockin' Jamaican accent, I don't know. She's going to close out the show and it's going to be amazing. And you guys are going to want her to do it every single time. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for joining this fire here. Be sure to ignite and unite the kingdom of God. We'll see you later.
Boy.
Yes. Bye.